You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And now it's time for one of our regular segments where we chat with one of our most important minor parties about the hot topics of today and tomorrow. Today, Alex speaks with ACT Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden about the government's new rural health strategy and ACT's housing infrastructure bill, beginning with the former.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Yesterday, we finally passed what's called the Piora Healthy Futures Bill, which has now become an act, which is all of the health system is now being reformed. And as part of that reform, we've slimmed down the 20 district health boards that have allocated resources and planned for health needs in 20 different communities around New Zealand. And we've now put in place Health New Zealand and the Māori Health Authority. So this has been a big reform that the government has been wanting to do for a number of years. And part of that reform, the government has now put in place what's called a rural health strategy. And this is alongside a Māori health strategy, a Pacific health strategy, and a disability strategy, and a strategy for women's health. Now, the ACT Party believed that we had forgotten about rural health throughout this entire discussion of a health reform. And so I put up an amendment during what's called the Committee of the Whole Health stage and said, why do we have strategies for Māori health, Pacific health, and women and disability health, but not for our rural people? They are often overlooked. And after we forced the government to consider this, the government did in fact change the law to put in a rural health strategy. And what this really means is that as these reforms get rolled out and the Ministry of Health and the Minister of Health, Health New Zealand and the Māori Health Authority all start developing plans for what health services will look like around New Zealand, the voices of rural people won't be forgotten, because we know that people who live rurally or remotely will have worse health outcomes. They do now. And that a lot of that is to do with access issues.
And what sort of aspects do you see the rural health strategy having in its early days?
I think the importance here will be that when statistics are being collected over the coming years about how the health system has been working, rural health will not be forgotten. So people will be collecting statistics about outcomes for whether Pacific health, women's health, Māori health has or has not improved. I think it's really important that, you know, the whole reason why we're having this reform supposedly is because we live in what's called a postcode lottery. Your health needs, your health outcomes are determined by where you're living around the country, and the type of hospital you get depends on what city you live in. The type of primary care you get is determined by what town you are, and the type of care you get is very different if you're in Otago or Auckland. So I think it's really important that we are acknowledging that there are discrepancies in different places that people live, because that's a way of helping us measure it for the future.
And do you have any indication as to where you expect to see significant discrepancies? Is it just where there is a significant distance from mainstream healthcare facilities like hospitals?
I think there's discrepancies of care wherever you go. One aspect which I would like to see changed as well was putting in place a medicine strategy, and I won't go too in-depth on that one because we could talk all day about the need for a medicine strategy, but particularly when it comes to rural health. You know, if you get a prescription from your doctor and you go down to your local pharmacy and you pick that up and you live in central Auckland or central Wellington, central Christchurch, it won't take you too long in the grand scheme of things to come back next month if you need your prescription refilled, or the next month it might take you, you know, half an hour on the bus ride if you're going a little bit further. But for somebody who lives rurally on a farm and you need to go and see your doctor and then you need to go and get your prescription, and that needs to be refilled, and it's going to take you 2 or 3 hours to get to your local clinic, and then you have to go back to your GP in another month, you can really see how those access issues play into why people wouldn't go to the doctor in the first place, and why they might not actually go and get a prescription refilled. And these things will have ongoing long-term effects for people's health. So I think we do need to acknowledge that people do live rurally remotely. They will have more access issues to health care, easy things like being able to see a midwife, being able to actually see a GP through telehealth, being able to get prescriptions refilled without having to go back to have a doctor's appointment to be booked in, to be cancelled, and not be able to get a prescription refilled. These are very real problems that people face, and I think we do need to size up those problems and see how we can do better in the future.
Brooke and I then discussed ACT's new infrastructure bill, which is currently being passed through Parliament.
Yes, so I put in place last night a new bill. It's called the Housing Infrastructure GST Sharing Bill. And what this is an incentive for councils to get homes built. And we know that one of the biggest hold-ups that comes to development is that local councils know that if a new home is developed in their region, they have a lot of infrastructure costs to manage, and there's no incentive to want new homes to be built because it costs them money. And so the ACT Party is putting in place a really simple proposition. It says half of the GST on any new build would go to the local council that issues the consent, and that way, in the same way that when the council is very efficient at giving out parking tickets because it knows that it's getting money from you, they will go around wanting to give out building consents because they know that they would get the money that they need to connect that home to a community. So this is a simple solution from the ACT Party, saying that we know more people want the opportunity to own their own home. It takes far too long to get anything built. How do we stop that happening? Well, let's incentivise councils and give them the funding that they desperately need to connect a home to a community.
And so what's the mechanism for redistributing that GST? Is it when construction materials are bought? Is it at the point where the home is sold?
Yeah, so it would be an amount calculated by a formula that was created in the bill. And it's about, at the end of any financial year, the value of new residential building work put in place in the district. So it would be done at the end of every financial year rather than calculated on every building at every time. And that would allow Kāinga Ora, is the process that we're putting in place. We would allow Kāinga Ora to calculate that based on statistics collected by the statistician. And they would have money on the basis of those formula calculations to hand out to local councils at the end of every financial year. And so they would calculate the rate of GST from every territorial authority. So there's a lot of statistic calculation that would need to be done through the statistician, and then the money would be handed back at the end of every financial year.
And so obviously that grants a greater sense of security and incentive for councils to build. For the everyday person, what does that mean for their neighbourhoods? Do you have a figure in terms of how many houses can expect to be built by this prospective bill?
I suspect this would go some way to ensuring that councils know that if a new house is being built in the areas, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that they will have to front up with more costs for sewage, for water infrastructure, for roading, for the schools, because every time a council sees a new house going up, it thinks of all of the costs. And this changes the framework and makes them think of the benefits. Every new home that's being put in their area means that they will have the money that's needed to connect that home to the community. So I think we would see a shift in council and how builders interact with council, that everybody recognises we do need more homes for people to live in, we need more affordable homes being built, and we need them to be built faster. So let's stop the hold-ups that happen at council because they know that they're trying to put roadblocks in the way of having new homes being built because it costs them money. So it's about changing the incentive structure.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was Alex speaking with ACT's Brooke Van Velden about the government's new rural health strategy and ACT's housing infrastructure bill.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.